Yeah, you're going to have to excuse me. I'm battling a cold, but Satan's not going to win. Excellent music this morning, Brother Dean. And it ties right into the message that God has kind of put on my heart. And it's a message about Isaiah and his call to preach the word to people back in the days of Israel and Judah when they were not listening to the Lord. They were marching to the beat of their own drum. Kind of sounds familiar, doesn't it? Kind of sounds very familiar to the times that we're living in today. If you turn in your Bibles this morning to Isaiah chapter 6, and we're going to look at verses 6, 1 through 13. If you'd like to follow along with me. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the doors moved in the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this has touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? And then I said, Here am I, send me. And he said, Go and tell the people, Hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert, and be healed. Then said I, Lord, how long? And he answered, Until the cities be wasted without inhabitant, and the houses without man, and the land be utterly desolate. And the Lord have removed men far away, and there be a great forsaking in the midst of the land. But in it shall be a tenth, and it shall return, and shall be eaten, as a teal tree and as an oak, whose substance is in them when they cast their leaves. So the holy seed shall be the substances thereof. These days and times which we're living in, folks, is very reminiscent of those times. And what we have to understand is that God's wrath is not an implacable blind rage. However emotional it may be, it is entirely reasonable and willed response to offenses against his holiness. But his love wells up amidst his perfections and is not generated by his loveliness of the loved. Thus, there is nothing intrinsically impossible about wrath and love being directed towards the same individual or people at the same time. God in his perfections must be wrathful against his rebel image bearers, for they have offended him. God in his perfections must be loving towards his rebel image bearers, for he is that kind of God. The sixth chapter of the book of Isaiah was representative of God's judgment and his salvation. It was a representation of God's wrath and his love. The related and interwoven themes of sin, judgment, and salvation are a major part indeed of what makes the book and the message of the prophet Isaiah memorable. These are confronted in the very first chapters and run throughout the entire book. Isaiah preached during some of the most turbulent years of the kingdom of Israel and Judah, faced by a people who believed that their proper worship was more important than obedient living, that God's blessing was evident of their goodness and their stature rather than his grace, and that his election of them ensured their salvation. The prophet illuminated their folly with the brilliant light of God's holiness. Isaiah sensed that his people were headed for destruction, but needed to be warned before it was too late. They could be spared from destruction, but were refusing even to see, much less to heed God's warnings. If ever a people needed to be awakened to the peril which they faced, it was the people of Israel and Judah the last half of the 8th century B.C. Once again, that mirrors today. We live in a world where people are blind to what's going on. They're stuck like concrete to their wicked ways. Immorality, adultery, perversion, crime runs rampant. What's our job? What's our place in all this? Are we doing what we should be doing, as Isaiah was called to do? Are we going forth and speaking to these people, even though we know that so many of them won't listen to us? They won't see it. Does that prevent us from going forth and doing so? Did it prevent Isaiah? No, it didn't. And it shouldn't prevent it from us from going forth, from going forth and preaching the full gospel. Not just a prosperity gospel to woo people into feeling good about themselves, but the true full gospel. That you must find Jesus Christ. You must accept him in your life. You must allow him to be your personal Lord and Savior. You must do this with a true and repentant heart. Many people are led to believe that they can go forth in a church setting or at some revival and simply just say a prayer and do a dance. And God's a God of second chance. And I can walk out of these doors and everything's great. I can go right back into my old sinful ways, but I'm okay because I'm saved now. And no, you're not. You're not. But there's a lot of people out there that are preaching this message. A lot of people out there that are poisoning the minds of people who are looking to fill that void in their heart, looking for the answers, looking for the truth. The 8th century disobedient people of Isaiah's time are a sunrise shadow of the 21st century people who would be coming up in the horizons of the future. The process of becoming a servant of God for Isaiah in 740 BC mirrors the process of a person doing so in 2012 AD. God is the same then as he is now. He is unchanging. He hated disobedient sin then, and he continues to feel the same way now in this present day. Just as it was in the ancient days, the people in these modern times need to turn their eyes towards the Lord. The people in Isaiah's days were leading a lifestyle of evil amidst a time of economic upheaval. People in our current world are echoing these very same traits. As I said, immorality, adultery, perverse lifestyles that are an abomination to God, idolatry. Our nation alone has gone from one nation under God to one nation soaked in sin. Nowadays, hope, faith, and love have been replaced by fame, greed, and apathy. The modern-day money changers daily take the unaware for a ride. we as followers of Jesus Christ must continue to appeal to the senses of these people as we humbly, yet boldly, warn them that judgment is coming for those who do not accept and acknowledge Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. It is as clear to us now as it was clear to Isaiah that the kingdom cannot be set up before a time of judgment. Hence the message of Isaiah 6, 1 through 13, and why it is so very pertinent and it's timeless. People still yearn for peace, as they did in the days of Isaiah and King Ahaz. Ironically, we too have a government that seeks questionable partners in global conflicts and in conquests. Sadly, our very same leaders just need to turn back to God, the one whose guiding light built our republic. Let us pray fervently that God's righteous wrath and his righteous judgment is not poured out upon our country. Elsewise, once again, only a remnant will survive. But again, as in Isaiah's time, and likewise, as the message that the book of Isaiah tells, there is a glimmer of hope in the darkened world. And through God's grace and salvation, that very glimmer can shine brightly for those who are receptive to it. Excuse me. Let people embrace the lesson learned through Isaiah and others of truly becoming an authentic servant of God, a true Christian, not a once-a-week Christian, not a fence-riding Christian, not a Burger King Christian. Burger King Christian, what I mean by that is have it my way. It's not like you go into Sam's Club and you walk down the aisles and you look in the scriptures on the aisles and say, hey, I like this. I like this verse. I think I'll use it. And you go down the aisle a little further and you go, yeah, that applies to me. I can dig that. Yeah, I'll use that one too. And you fill your cart up with all these little snippets from the Bible and you kind of make your own gospel. And then you roll your cart out the door and you say you're a Christian. No. You accept the Bible as the inerrant, truthful, living, breathing Word of God. From Genesis to Revelation, every verse, every word, or you don't accept any of it at all. So many people try to play that. So many people are fooling themselves. And the day will come when the gavel will come out on Judgment Day. And they're not going to have the great counselor to say, they're with me and they're forgiven. God's not going to send them to hell. Their poor choices and decisions, their disobedience and their rebellion is what's going to seal their faith. And that's our job. It's our job to go out and open the eyes of these people. God doesn't wear a wristwatch. Nobody knows the day, the time, or the hour when he's coming back. But he does show us signs. And if you follow prophecy in the Bible, and if you look around you today and wake up, you can see that he's coming back. He's coming back. Now, the question you have to ask yourself, are you ready? The next question you have to ask yourself is, am I doing what God called me to do? Because, see, when you accept Jesus in your life, you're a minister. You're a minister, and your job is to go forth in the mission field and tell people about Jesus. You don't just accept him in your heart and sit in the corner and get real quiet. Oh, I'm good now. I'm good to go. It's all good. Okay. I just don't feel good about talking in front of people. I can't pray as good as that person. Gee, I don't have any musical talent. I can't do any praise and worship. Quit comparing yourself to other people. God made us all unique and special. In his eyes were diamonds. So quit looking at yourself as a piece of mud. He's made you special. He's called you to serve him this time, in this time of history. Think of it like this. God created everybody that walked the face of this earth. Amen? He did. He did. And he placed these people on earth at particular times in history. He could have put anybody at any time in history. But guess what? He chose to create us and to put us here right now. Right now. To serve him. To glorify him. To preach the gospel far and wide to everybody. Jesus is coming back. We've got to be persistent. We've got to be humble yet bold. And we've got to say it out of love. Now, Pastor Dean and Brother Kevin the other day was talking about, you know, the arrows that Satan throws at us and the arrows that God throws at us. We've got to be awake and be focused on doing what God wants us to do. And that's bring people to him. Shine his light through us. Every day. Some people will say, well, I don't have the opportunity to really witness to a lot of people. Or, you know, we're really not allowed to speak about God at work. Well, people can see God in the way you act. Could be a smile on your face. Could be the way you held the door for somebody. That's God coming through you. And people see these things. And believe me, it makes an impression. Because you're planting seeds. You're planting seeds. Remember, it's not you or I that transform or change someone. It's the Holy Spirit. We're merely seed throwers. But you gotta put the bag of seeds on every day. You've gotta reach in it and broadcast the seeds. So in these days that we're living in right now, one of the things that I want to say to you guys, there's a lot of things going on in the world, and yeah, we're living in perilous times. But we need not be afraid. You know, people that are lost and have no hope, their eyes will be open and fear will set in. But we have nothing to be afraid. God has a plan. And it starts right here, right now. God has a plan for the church to reach the cities, the towns, the schools, the colleges, the shopping malls, the streets, the homes, the rich, the poor, the lives of all people around the world. No matter how much the wickedness of the enemy tries to take God out of the equation, he ain't going to win. He's not going to win because we are breaking that and we are coming out God's army and we're here to serve. And we're going to serve him until he calls us home. Amen? Amen. So God's plan, it starts right here. God's plan starts right now. At Fire and Grace Church in Auburn, Alabama. In churches all around this nation that preach the Bible, that preach the true gospel, that don't saturate in the prosperity, but give you the true word of God. God's plan starts now. God's plan starts today. We don't look back. We look forward. We go out. And we serve. Because that's what Jesus did. He served. It's man tries to make everything convoluted. Rules and rituals. You've got to do this. You've got to say that. You've got to act this way. Jesus said, go out and preach the word. Don't take nothing with you. I'll give you everything you need. Pick up your cross and go forth. And that's what we'll do. And that's what we will do. That's what we will do. You know, there's a phrase that we oftentimes hear. A leap of faith. A leap of faith. And I want everybody to live that. And I want to tell everybody it's not easy. But it's worth it. But it's worth it. God will provide for everything that you need. And in our minds, when we separate ourselves from this world, and we begin to truly embrace the difference between a want and a need, this life is a grand journey. And the glory of God will shine through in all of our words and deeds. And as I look out at you guys today, I want you to know from the bottom of my heart, I receive the love that this church has for each other. I've been in a lot of churches, and that love is no more apparent or no more real than the love that you guys have for each other and that you've extended to my wife and I. And I thank you because you shine the love and grace of God through you. And that is great. God smiles upon you. And the Holy Spirit is in this place. The Holy Spirit is inside of each and every one of you. Every one of you little fellows and little girls. All you people. In your heart. In your soul. You take no breath. You take no step alone. And the days and times that are coming ahead, I'm not going to paint a pretty picture for you. It's going to get tougher. And there's going to be persecution because you guys are authentic Christians. But have no fear. Do not ever drop your head. Keep your head high. Keep your eyes focused on God because He's with you every breath and step you take. Every breath and step you take. And Lord, we thank you so much because He is the only one that deserves the praise, the honor, and the glory. If you find yourself going forth and shining His light, and you start to slip back and think, hey, I do this pretty good. Put yourself in check because it's not for your glory. It's not for your fame. It's not for anything but Him. Life is simple, folks. People say, what's life all about? Life is all about living for the one who died for you. For without Him, we're nothing but a bunch of lost, broken sinners. So praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Yeah, I just kept telling myself, you know, I just don't really want to ramble on and on and on and on. But it's so hard to stop talking about God. You can't. And I don't want you folks ever to either. No matter what anyone tells you, no matter what anyone says, you just keep talking about God. Because He is the only reason we're here. Let us bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning as your humble bondservants, willing and ready to serve you, Lord, as Isaiah before us. Here we are, Lord. Use us. Use us for whatever means, whatever ways you see fit. We are simply your tools in the toolbox, and we're here to be used. Father God, I just ask that you continue to shine your light upon this church and all my brothers and sisters in Christ. Lord, I just ask that you protect Israel against all transgressors. Lord, I ask that you open up the eyes of America to truly once again become one nation under God. Lord, only you can do these things. There's no man, no political leader, no movement that can do that. Only you. Only you. Father God, I just ask that you take each and every person in this room and you fill them with a fresh anointing. Fill them with the Holy Spirit, Lord, so they go forth today and they shine your light as the bright beacon upon the hill, and that they point everyone to you that are lost, that are void, and that are simply out there searching for the answer. The answer which we know is Jesus Christ. Lord, we just want to thank you. We want to thank you for your presence here today. We want to give you all the praise and all the honor and all the glory, for only you deserve it. Lord, we thank you for the breath you give us and the opportunity each and every day to serve you and glorify you. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Amen. Brother Dean, thank you for the opportunity to step up here and weather through with my cold. Let us keep on keeping on.
Appreciate it. Hallelujah. You know, that's one of my favorite passages in the Bible, is Isaiah 6. And you know why it's one of my favorites? It's one of my favorites because Isaiah was already a prophet. I mean, you know, chapters 1 through 5 are already there. And he was already a prophet, and he was already ministering. And then yet again, God opens his eyes to his own condition, to where people are. And I think it shows something. It shows something that we should always be seeking God for a fresh revelation of ourselves, of where we really are, you know. Sometimes I think we think we're okay when we're not. And that's really a lot of the problem in the church world, is so many people just think they're okay. But if you spend time with God, and that's why it's so important to pray. That's why it's so important to get in the Bible, because if you spend time with the Lord, it may not happen the first day. It may not happen in a week. It may not happen in a month. But if you start spending serious time with God, guess what? The first thing he's going to show you. First thing he's going to show you is about you. Not about anybody else. And then when you see you, see, this is how you know. When you see you, then you see, oh my God, if I'm that messed up, if I need to correct this, then you begin to see, wow, there's a lot of people around me just like me, right? And they need this encounter with God. And what I love is the angel goes and takes a coal of fire off the altar. And you know what fire represents? The fire of the Holy Spirit. Yeah, and the cleansing power of God. And really, I think it's not that, you know, it's kind of like this. When you get saved, yes, your sins are forgiven. That's the blood. But the fire of the Holy Spirit comes in later to keep that purification process going on. And we all need that. And I will tell you, I want to say thanks to Nancy and to Kevin and to Bill for taking, you know, these last few weeks and taking the pressure off of me, because that's even part of it. Sometimes we're doing too much and we need to back up a little bit and pray and not have, you know, especially if you're doing ministry stuff, you can't just give out all the time. finally you do run out. And I don't care how long you've been doing it or how much you know, you run out of spiritual strength and energy, and you have to stop and pull back. So I hope y'all are ready, because I'm about to explode. So next week, we're just going to have to – I'm ready to jump back in there.